Okay, and there may be some people joining us, but that's fine. We're going to be talking today about sustainable models. I call them sustainable models, and we've had two grantees that have joined in the last couple sessions that we would call entrepreneurs, social enterprises. They are organizations that have basically a .org and a .com. And the .org often, yes, is supported by the .com. So we're going to be talking in the next couple of PLCs about what I call sustainable models. And of course, federal money is getting scarcer. And we want to examine some of the different models. And the interesting thing about environmental workforce development job training programs is they fall into several different categories. And we could look at the 60 or so active grants and kind of break them down into the types of organizations they are. And early on, and we're looking at the next RFP coming out in the beginning of next year, but it's a good time for us to sit back and think about if we're new or thinking of developing a project or a proposal, how we may want to organize our project overall. So we're doing some global thinking right now in the next couple of PLCs. And then and how we may want to organize, how we may want to partner, whether we want to go with this alone or use one of these more sustainable models. Later on, when we get closer to the RFP, we'll start getting into the nitty-gritty of the RFP and what they're going to be looking for and how we might want to respond. And then we go, when we do that, we start talking about eight critical issues, which include assessment and choosing your target area, where we do characterizations of the target area, labor market assessments, and we look into recruitment and training strategies, assessment strategies, services, placement strategies. But we're going to be doing that later as we get closer to writing these grants. But right now, we want to focus on what should we be doing strategically? How should we be organizing this project before we get into it too deep? How do we want to look at this? And we're going to be particularly zooming in on a couple of models. And the first one that we're going to sum up today will be what the last two presenters did, the social enterprise. So you had a .com and a .org. We're going to talk about that today. And then the next PLC, we're going to be talking about actually being a government agency. It'll be Merrimack Valley. Susan Amano will talk to us about what they've done. They've been very successful, had five grants re-upped, and they're actually a government agency, and they've organized their program within the agency as a means of sustainability. There are others like the city of Tacoma that fall into that category. After we talk about being in an agency, we'll talk about working in a synergistic environment where we're in tandem with other nonprofits that are doing similar things. This would be people like Oregon Tradeswomen, who have ongoing things going in Pathstone, Uberall. These are organizations that are doing social services, and they're actually adding on the environmental workforce development job training component into their program. And then we're going to talk at last on doing it by yourself and what you need to do with backstops and partnerships. So the next couple PLCs, this is kind of the path we're going. Today we're going to kind of wind up and talk about the social entrepreneurship and how you might want to think about doing something like this. Before I go too deep into this, though, we always talk about the news from Washington and what's happening in HMTRI right now. Heather, what do you have for us?
Well, from Washington, there was really no new news from HQ this week. But you guys might have noticed on the listserv, I just sent out an email showing some opportunities and resources that were bounced our way from various people who thought they might be of interest to grantees and potential grantees. So it's talking about solar workforce. There was some webinars, some information on grants, apprenticeship programs, things like that. So if those sound like anything that might be of interest to you, please check out that listserv post. That should have just came out maybe like a half hour ago. And you guys might find some things of interest there.
Great. Right. We've got some ongoing programs that we'll be doing in the future here. Of course, next up that we're going to be working on will be what we call the Employee Finder, where we'll be sending out requests for those of you who are grantees, what kind of core curriculum you have and when your graduation dates might be and contact information. So we're going to be doing that. And then, of course, we've got an ongoing program that has to do with social media on websites, YouTube sites, and that's already up on the toolbox. Heather, do you want to guide us around the toolbox, people who may not be familiar with the Brownfields Toolbox?
Absolutely. So if you all go to brownfieldtoolbox.org, there's a hyphen in there, I'm sorry, brownfields-toolbox.org, you guys can see that there's lots of really, really great resources available. At the very top, you'll see a series of drop-down menus. The first one is Start a Program. It's a really great resource for anybody that's interested in really looking at the first steps for this whole grant writing process. If any of you guys are potential grantees, that would definitely be a resource you'd want to explore. The next tab over is Downloads. That's the one where you can find things like our best practices, the social media directory, the certified employee finder that Mike was just talking about, as well as some webinars, listserv archives, as well as program overviews. We have a location map. The next one is Connect News, so those fantastic newsletters that are put out every other month. You can find all of them archived in there as well. And then the very last tab is also very important for everybody here on this call. That's the PLC sessions. So if you want to get a recording of the phone calls, if you missed it or you wanted to go back and check something else, that would be where you would find that information, as well as the notes. Those of you that are on the PLC distribution note, list, you guys get the notes from Mike on Friday. For everybody else, if you want to check those things out, you'll have to go to the website to be able to find that information.
Right. And if for some reason you're not getting notes, Heather, why don't you give them your address and they can give you their contact information so they'll be on the specifically on the PLC list to get the notes on Friday.
Absolutely. Just send me an email to hkballou@eicc.edu. Again, that's hkballou@eicc.edu.
Great. Some of this may be redundant to you, but every call we get some new people, and we like to inform them of what we're doing, just in case. As I said today, while we're going to be talking about these models, they're what I call sustainable models. They're approaches that if you organize your job training program right, if you miss a RFP, these grants are for 3 years, but sometimes there's no guarantee that you're going to be re-upped. Even if you've got a really good program, there's limited number of opportunities funding. We expect them to go up a little bit, but it's going to be likely every other year that they'll be going out for RFPs, but it'll probably be more, but less frequent. So what we're trying to prepare everyone for is trying to develop your program before you get too involved in it so that it has the opportunity of a dry period of being sustainable. And how do we develop these models or how do we organize so that if we miss a grant, for example, St. Nick's would be a good example. Had a grant, missed a grant. They were able to sustain themselves with other means. There have been many other organizations who have been able to wade through, keep their program intact, going through it and keep going and reapply and then get another grant. There are also programs that have been able to just walk away from the federal money. They didn't need it anymore. They were able to not only sustain themselves, but support themselves without the need for federal money. So that's pretty much what we're talking about today. Now, the first group we had, I'm going to name, we've got some anecdotal grantees. It's not unique, but the first one is a first-year grant. It was Recycle Force. Those of you who were on the call with Ken Alexander in Indiana described his program. Very unique, very interesting. They're in their first year. But what Recycle Force is, they've got recycle.org, basically, and recycle.com. And their business is recycling anything with a plug, recycling computers, recycling refrigerators, recycling anything, screens. They train people to disassemble them. They've gotten into deconstruction, cleaning out abandoned buildings. So they've got a for-profit organization, and that for-profit organization hires ex-offenders. They'll hire other people that are disadvantaged and unable to get jobs, but they focus on ex-offenders. They'll hire them in Recycle Force, the entrepreneurial corporation, the social enterprise, and then they'll give an opportunity to some of them, and this later we'll talk about tryouts and how do you select people to go through training. There might be about 20 per cycle in most grants. They might take the best 20 or the most motivated or those who are interested in getting more advanced training, and then they're going to run them through the Environmental Workforce Development and Job Training Program that EPA has. Now, that's kind of a .org. If you are a corporation, you can't apply for this federal money, but you can if you're a .org. So what they do is they're anticipating their model to look something like this. You bring in ex-offenders. You're giving them full employment so they could support themselves. You're finding those who are good workers who are interested in learning more about hazardous materials, learning more about asbestos, lead remediation, about cleaning up and then in terms of emergency response, cleaning up the disaster sites. And then you suggest to them that they might be interested in this 218-hour program sponsored by EPA. They may, after finishing that program, they may go back into Recycle Force. They may go out and get another job. They may find a remediation firm that they go to work for. But the interesting thing is here they have a fallback. So this is a really interesting model, and it'll be interesting to follow Recycle Force as they move forward. As I said, this is their first year, to see to the extent that that Recycle Force, the for-profit organization, can help support Recycle Force, the Environmental Workforce Training Program, to the extent that their .com takes off. You could see the possibilities in terms of sustainability. They're using the EPA money as seed money to get their program going. But here's a model where conceivably they might get to the point where they really wouldn't need any federal money. The one would support the other. One might say, well, this is very unique and it might be a one-off, but not necessarily. I would not say that, because the next PLC we had, which was 2 weeks ago, we talked about Coalfield Development. Interesting. Coalfield Development is doing exactly the same thing. A little bit different, but pretty much the same social entrepreneurship. Coalfield Development, of course, as the name implies, are located in the worst part of the unemployment belt in the coal fields. They have no jobs. I call it a employer desert. We all know about food deserts, but nobody seems to talk about employer deserts. There are no employers now, different than Recycle Force, which is in Indianapolis. Here is an organization that's trying to develop an environmental workforce development job training program, and there are no employers. There's no employers. And you can say, how could this be? And this is not unique because we have the exact same situation on a tribe. So if you use your imagination for a bit, what's the difference between a tribe, a reservation that has no employers, has many unemployed people, they need training, how can we get them good jobs and perhaps environmental jobs? The same thing happens in rural areas. Now, coalfield development is kind of got a 1-2 punch. It's, I would say, mine-scarred areas. Well, West Virginia and that part of West Virginia, they have mine-scarred lands. They have no employers and tremendously high unemployment rates and not a lot of infrastructure. So how are they doing it? Well, it's a little different than what Recycle Force is doing, but what they did is they formed, now rather than having a .com and .org, they have all .orgs, but they formed 5 companies. One has to do with agriculture. One has to do with green infrastructure, building green infrastructure. One has to do with solar and installation, maintenance of solar. Another has to do with land and mine reclamation. And another one is the creative space. Has to do with just about anything where they can see a need in their community. They're talking about coffee shops, things that they may not fit into the other categories. And so what's their business plan? Well, there's, in a way, it's similar to Recycle Force. They're bringing people in. They're hiring them, and they're putting them into one of these organizations. And if someone has a penchant for land and mine reclamation, he might go into that business. He might go into green construction or solar prep, recycling land for solar. Once they get into the social entrepreneurial program, if they say they want to learn more about get the hazardous material certifications, they would receive or go into the EPA part of the program, which is the Environmental Workforce Development Job Training. And they have a much longer program. They've different than Recycle Force. They've got more of a structure. They have what they call a 33-6-3, and it's a 3-year program, and they may spend 33 hours a week working with 6 hours of education and then 3 hours of mentorship. Mentorship in both these programs play a big role, both in Recycle Force and in the Coalfield Development Program, where more experienced people will sit down with less experienced people, and they will talk about their problems, their issues, what their aspirations are, and where they're going. Recycle Force does exactly the same thing. They have a circle where the older people will help mentor the younger ones. Well, this is a similar thing in coalfield development. So here's an organization where they're bringing people in, they're doing social entrepreneurship, and then they're also using the job training program in tandem with this. There, I would say of those two, Recycle Force, because it's new, but it, as you look at them from a distance, they've got a real good chance because they're in this urban area of creating jobs and generating cash flow. Although I think Coalfield Development is doing a great job of building their own jobs. So both of these organizations are basically building jobs. They're taking the employer desert and they're saying, okay, we have no employers. We're going to make our own. Conceivably, this is something that might work in other rural areas. I'm sure it could work in other rural areas and can work on reservations. There may be a different set. Now we've got two different genres or venues. You've got things with plugs and electronics and highly industrial, and then we've got a softer types of jobs in agriculture, green construction, mine reclamation. But conceivably, the same thing might be done on a reservation where there may be needs that need to be filled, and they can create their own entrepreneurial or social entrepreneurial employers and then tandem it with a job training program, and those two support each other. As I said before, these are not anomalies in the job training program. We've had some other programs that are somewhat similar to this, where they've got .coms and .orgs. Another very interesting one is Limitless Vistas, which anyone who may have gone to the annual grantee meeting may have talked to the people from Limitless Vistas. Limitless Vistas was started by a gentleman named Patrick Barnes, who was, I believe, a geologist, got involved in hydrology, built up a consulting firm, engineering and environmental remediation, and felt that he was also an environmental activist and particularly interested in environmental justice. And Patrick decided that he could form some sort of a training organization that could be a feeder into his consulting. Actually, at his peak, he had 150 employees working for him at it was called BFA Environmental, still going strong. Patrick provided seed money and, of course, is very closely associated with Limitless Vistas. Limitless Vistas has been growing and has been a grantee. They started in 2010, and they have had 5 grants that have been re-upped since 2010. So been very, very successful. And again, you've got a public-private partnership. He basically has his .com, which is BFA Environmental, and he's got limitedvistas.org, which is his job training program. And the two work together in tandem, feeding each other, assisting each other, going back and forth between employees of the remediation firm and then trainees, and with strong mentorship. We have other companies like Zender Environmental, which are smaller and not to the extent of, say, Limitless Vistas, but Lynn Zenda up in Alaska has a consulting firm, and she's doing a similar thing. A little more distant are some of these community development corporations, and the state of Wisconsin's got one of those, and a community development corporation is actually a corporation that is for the public good. In Cleveland, they have a laundry cleaning service, and that service supplies all the hospitals and restaurants with clean linens. And the idea being, and the seed that I'm planting here, is that if you're new and you're just looking at concepts, you might consider, is there something in your community that you might be able to link up with? Is there a consulting company? Is there a mediation company? Is there some sort of corporation that you might even form a need that you could tandem and work synergistically with a job training program? And these two would feed each other and go back and forth. Now, this is just a single model. It's not anything that anyone would endorse. It's just very unusual, but it seems to be working in several cases. As I said, we're going to be talking about other models. We're going with the one that's kind of the furthest out, the non-traditional types of models. And while I say it's non-traditional, and they're not anomalies, I pointed out 3 of them that are very strong, and there are some other ones that are using that kind of organization as feeders. You could call them strong partnerships. They work in tandem, but they're the cash flow generating organizations that are working with the nonprofit. The advantage of this is obvious. The advantage is that you have a feeder into one to the other. You have definite advantages. there's not a lot of downside, because once you establish these linkages, you can still go after all of the other grants. You could go after all the other partnerships. It's almost like having an angel that's working with you side by side. The biggest advantage being that if you get a grant and you've worked it 1 or 2 or 3 years, and for whatever reason you miss a year, it's not a big deal. You could keep on rolling, and it gives you what we would call sustainability. So the EPA program enhances it, but at the same time, you've got a backstop. So we're going to, this is just one approach. We're going to be talking about the other two or three other approaches that can be used. But again, in your sitting back and just generalizing what we may want to do, it's something that some of you may want to consider. Now, next week, next PLC, we're going to be talking more about, why don't you just use a governmental organization where you're built into the appropriations? And an example we're going to have in that case will be the Merrimack Valley Workforce Investment Board, where Merrimack Valley is actually a government agency, and they're using EPA money to get their program going and environmental. So again, these are models I want you to just consider. And when you're thinking about what you want to start, when you get too far into this program and you're going to be committed to one of these models or the other, you could always go it alone. And we're going to talk about that. That's our last sustainable model. If you go it alone, you're going to have to, it's like a shark. You're going to have to continually get money from somewhere, whether that money will be guaranteed, whether you can live solely on grants. It's a tough road to hoe. But so to the extent that you could use some of these other sustainable models, might work to your advantage. So does anyone have any questions on what Recycle Force has done, or what Coalfield Development has done, or what they might be thinking of doing out there? So there certainly is a variety of approaches in doing this. The most stressful one, actually, is going it alone. When you apply for a grant, and that first year is awesome because you've got 2 years ahead of you. Second year, you start to stress out, and then it gets really tough. And by that time, you really have to something going. And the way this program was originally designed was to have EPA money as startup money, kind of a something to get you going, kind of what's happening in Recycle Force, something that wouldn't have ever happened, but with this EPA money, it gives you a little push to organize and to line up your partnerships for sustainability. Any questions out there? Okay. Well, if there aren't, we'll be sending out some post-session notes. We keep these limited to about a half hour, try to keep from interfering too much in your day. And if you do have questions, just send them in. And again, what we'll be doing is going to the next approach, which is approaching a government agency that may want to start an environmental workforce development program. And this would be a question of finding an agency in your community that may be involved in training or employment, and approaching them and saying, you know, there's an opportunity here to apply for these funds to get started in environmental training. And that'll be the next approach that we'll use.
Well, see you at the next one then.
Okay, good buddy. Well, thanks for calling, and you all have a good couple of weeks. We'll see you on October 10th, same time, same place. Talk to you all later. Bye.